We're talking about praying in tongues today, this powerful, beautiful, wonderful gift and tool that God has given to every believer. There's a lot of confusions about praying in tongues, and especially with social media. Now, everyone seems to be a preacher and has opinions, and they're trying to preach their opinion to other people. It's important that you know why you believe in praying in tongues, and you understand from Scripture why you believe what you believe. So we're going to tackle some of these questions today, and especially about the necessity of praying in tongues. We're going to start in our core verses here, our core chapters, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is talking about the different gifts and callings in the church and how you don't have to be mature, you don't have to grow in God, you just have to walk in your calling, your place in the body, and there'll be a gifting to go alongside. So whenever we see the word gifting, we understand that that is a operation of the Holy Spirit through a calling of a person for somebody else. The giftings are for somebody else. Whenever you see the word gift, that's God working through your calling for someone else. We've handled some of these verses here in previous messages, so I won't pass in review too much. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of prophecy, helps, administration, and diversity of tongues, or variety of tongues. So these are the eight jobs in the church of the body. So your calling fits into one of these eight jobs. Now, what was happening in the Corinthian church was they were learning how to walk with God through their carnal man without growing up their inner man. And so the Holy Spirit was working with them through his giftings. The giftings were upon their callings. And so there was a lack of maturity. There was a lack of love. There's a lack of character, many tremendous things going on in that church. And yet God was moving in miracles and signs and wonders. They were behind in no gift. Paul is correcting them by saying, this is why God is using you, not because you've earned it or you're special, simply because you're walking in your part of the body. Well, there's a better way, a more excellent way, and that is for every believer to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not just a portion or a part of him, a gift of him. And so that's the explanation going on. He then goes on in verse 29 and says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Well, these are different callings. So no, not all parts of the body are the same. They're all different. We are all different. We hold different positions in the body of Christ. Then he says in verse 30, do all have the gift of healings? Well, the answer is no. These are rhetorical questions. Do all speak with tongues? Well, the answer is no. And then it says, do all interpret? So we learned in the last session that whenever you see that word interpret, it's like someone wearing a big, bright yellow shirt that says interpreter. You know that the person they're standing next to doesn't speak your language. Well, whenever we see the word interpret next to the word get one of the giftings, then that tells us that that is a gift of tongues for somebody else, not for you. That is a gift of tongues to minister to somebody else, not for you personally. So we have, by the diversity of tongues, we've explained there's four diversity of tongues, four different tongues in the church world. One of them is for everyone. That is your personal prayer language. That is not a gifting. It is a gift. It's free, but it's not a gifting for someone else. That is for you. That is something the Holy Spirit will work with you personally and strengthen and edify you. The other three are giftings for other people, and that is the gift of tongues with an interpreter for a church service, a church setting, a group setting. It's equal to prophesying. Then there is the tongues for intercession. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you while you're praying in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden it takes it in a different direction, his choice, not yours. And the third gifting is the tongue for the unbeliever. And that is the gift when you're praying in tongues in somewhere and someone else understands you of a different language. That's what happened when they stepped out of the upper room and went into the crowd. It went from their personal prayer language in the upper room to the gifting of tongues for a sign for the unbeliever. I said, wow, they're speaking in our language. The gospel was preached by the Holy Spirit through them. That is the gift of tongues for the unbeliever. Those three giftings, you don't get to decide how or when they happen. They happen by the Holy Spirit's design, not yours, and His timing. But your personal prayer language, that is for you. That's for you anytime you want, as much as you want. The one thing that God doesn't deal with is time. He is timeless. So He has all the time in the world. He's never too busy for you. The Holy Spirit will never be too busy for you. If you start praying in tongues, He'll always be there. He's always available to be your teacher, your mentor, your guide, to strengthen you. Anytime you want, as much as you want, you can have as much of God as you want. Now we're going to go down to chapter 14. We're going to talk about our topic today. Our topic today is edification. And we'll read here in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So we know this is our personal prayer language. This is the flute of the instruments. It is meant to edify you, and it has certain ways you play it. You play it anytime you want, as much as you want. You initiate it. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to come and knock you on the head and make you pray in tongues. You decide, I'm going to pray in tongues now because I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's in me already, waiting to pray through me, for me, the will of God. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So prophesying is God speaking through you. So it's not even you speaking about God. It's God speaking His words through a preacher to a church, and it edifies the people. Prophecy sometimes can be a personal prophecy. I can see that you're going through this, you're heartbroken, or you need a healing in a certain area, or you've been hungering for more of God. One prophet one time when I was young called me out in front of a big conference and said, I see you as a young man who your future is blank. You don't know where you're going. But if you trust God, He'll lead your steps. And that's exactly what I needed to hear. Man, this man knows me. He's a prophet. Well, that can be prophecy, but also prophecy can be a teaching of the Lord. Exactly what He wants you to learn that day, what He wants that church to learn that day. A lot of teaching by the Spirit is dismissed as just being teaching, when really it's like a prophecy. You're teaching not by what you decided to teach, but in that moment you're kind of being told what to say in teaching form, and it's a prophecy as well. And if we read up here in, well, let's go to verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So pursue love means you pursue the love, the chapter 13 love. You desire gifts. If I'm called to be an evangelist, then I desire the gift of miracles to do my job. If I'm called to be a businessman and my assignment is to bring in a lot of money, then, Lord, I want the gift of wisdom and knowledge, to know when I can buy and sell, kind of thing. And so you desire the gift to go with your calling. But there's a higher level, and that is we're still called to do something. Even when we become strong in the Lord, we're still called to accomplish our calling, but it's from a different place. It's no longer from the giftings. It's from the authority of love in us. So an apostle is still an apostle, called to be an apostle when he develops in his inner man. But now the authority that God uses for his apostleship is no longer the calling and the gifting. It's actually the Holy Spirit in his fullness, and the love of God in that person, in that apostle, is where the authority comes from. So pursue love. We're to pursue love, not pursue the gifts of God. But especially that you may prophesy. Well, I've heard that before, Alan. I'm glad you pray in tongues, but I choose to prophesy. I want God to use me in prophesying, not in praying in tongues. Well, you're getting it mixed up. Yes, in a church, to minister to people, you want to be used in prophesying because it edifies the other people. You don't want to only be used in your personal prayer language because then you don't edify other people. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God, and no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So when you pray in your personal prayer language, then you are praying the mysteries of God for your own edification. See, Pastor Dave would say, so you're praying the mysteries. These are deep secrets of God. And you're praying the tongues, and you are praying the mysteries. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So Paul is contrasting ministering in a church service versus ministering to yourself. Both are important. In fact, we're going to learn that if you don't edify yourself, you'll have nothing to edify the church with. So edifying yourself is important if you ever want to be used of God to edify other people. I remember one time I got invited to go on television up in Canada, and I was really excited. And I was talking to God like, oh God, thank you for promoting me. You've seen my faithfulness. You've seen my loyalty to you, and now you are promoting me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, no, I'm not promoting you, your faithfulness. He said, you have enough truth in you that I want that truth to get out. So what he was saying, that he was promoting himself in me. He wasn't even promoting me. And that's a good point we're going to learn here about praying in tongues, about ministry, is that it's more about what God can do through you than what you can do for God. Many people in the carnal tree of ministry learn how to do things in the name of God. Love your neighbor in the name of Jesus. Give your money in the name of Jesus. Do good works in the name of God, and bless your neighborhood. And it's okay. It's not a bad thing, but there's a more excellent way, which is how much of God can he bring forth out of you? While you cannot generate God, you cannot generate wisdom from God. That only comes from him. But there is a transfer of this information from God to you through praying in tongues. It's a powerful tool for every believer. Verse 3, he who prophesies. When you see prophesying, that's someone ministering to other people. Now look with the wording. Verse 3, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to man. So the first word there is edification. So prophesying, again, is God speaking his words through you. So you're not really edifying anyone. God is edifying the people through you, okay? And when you prophesy, prophesying is greater in the church setting than personal prayer language, because the goal in a church setting is to minister, edify other people, not to exalt yourself or edify yourself. It is to edify other people. Praying in tongues edifies you. But God wants the church to be edified with him and not with man's ideas or man's approval or man's ability. So if we're going to edify the church, and God's going to use us to edify the church, and I'm talking to you who are ambitious for your calling, it's only going to come when you let Christ be built in you first through edifying yourself. So if someone says, well, I don't need to pray in tongues, I just prophesy. Well, the problem is you don't have enough of Christ in you to really do a good job of prophesying. There's much more that God wants to do in you, and that's going to come from praying in tongues. Verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive, and there's that word, edification. And we talked about this yesterday, and or the service before, sorry, that verse 5 begins with the church may receive edification. If we want the church to receive edification, prophecy is greater than praying in tongues. If you want to edify yourself, praying in tongues is greater. Now, the word edification is what we're trying to tackle today. I'm trying to bring you to that understanding. Edification, that word edification means to build a house, is to build something. It's not like some people believe when I pray in tongues, it's like I charge a battery, it gets really strong, and then I pray for people and zap them, and all the energy goes out of me. So I have to go pray in tongues to build up that power bank, and then zap. And I remember I used to spend hours before every church service praying in tongues, trying to build up that power bank. And Pastor Dave said to me, Alan, it doesn't really do that much more for you to spend those hours before the service to pray in tongues, because praying in tongues is more about just building yourself up. He said, what really is important for a church service, if you're preaching, is to spend time in private worship. And then you'll walk in carrying that presence with you. And so I used to think praying in tongues was like charging a battery. I got to get charged up before I preach. Shandarabo, shandarabo, zap. You know, or that it's like blowing up a balloon. I'm blowing up the balloon, and when I let it out during the church service, I got to blow up that balloon tomorrow. No, that's not what it means. It's like building a house. Now, in some countries, when you build a house, you build it as the money comes in. So you'll drive through some countries or even some parts of the country in America, and you'll find a house is half built, and they have to wait a month till they get more money. Then they build another layer or two. And in many countries, you'll drive through their cities and you'll see many half-built houses. And that's because they're building it as it comes. That's a better picture, because that means that when you leave that house for a month or 2 months and you haven't touched it, it's still there when you come back. You got to get a little dust off of it and get rid of some bugs. But really, you can just continue building. So if you've fallen out of prayer in your life and say, yeah, I used to pray. I prayed for many years and I kind of got sidetracked. Well, that building didn't go away. You don't start back at zero. That building has stayed with you. You may have to dust it off and get rid of a few cockroaches and that. But that building's still there. That's the word edification. It is a building, like a building brick block that doesn't disappear. And then like any house, if you build it, you can't get to the ceiling or the roof until you build the walls first. So when you pray in tongues, it's like you're building the house of your future, the house of your calling, the house of, it's a spiritual house. You're actually building up your spiritual man. Edification is building, not encouragement. And you see here, when we talk about edification, he is talking about edifying from God through you to someone else. And I guess this is an important part that many people don't see, because they're trying to establish the church with a good heart, but they're using their own personality, their own ability, their own love, their own compassion to try to introduce people to Jesus. But clearly here, this edification is from God through you. In other words, if I really want to follow Scripture and I want to edify the church with love, it won't be with the love of Alan that I've had since I've been a baby. It's with the love of Christ that I've been able to develop in me. That's who God wants to establish the church on, and that's who God wants to edify the church with, is Christ in you, Christ's knowledge, the knowledge of God in you, the love of God that's been developed in you, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, that's from heaven established in you. That's how he wants to establish the church, by edifying the church with him through you, not you for him. It's a big difference. One has power, one does not. One will get to revival, one will not. Verse 3, again, before we move to Jude, we're going to go to Jude in a moment. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's chapter 14, verse 3. And that is how God wants to edify and bring forth the church and the wisdom and knowledge of the church. Not through our own ability, not through our own wisdom, our own strength, our own encouragement, but through the word of God that has come from God into us. If you copy a message off of someone else, that's not God bringing truth into you. That is you speaking truth. Now, if that truth came from God, it's still valuable, but if it's from someone else on this earth, it doesn't hold power. So the edification we're after is what God can do in us. Let's read down a little further here in chapter 14. We'll start in verse 17. For indeed give thanks well, but the others is not edified. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in tongue. And Pastor Dave believed this was a formula of, if you were to speak in the church the truth of God, that it came from five words equal was the fruit of 10,000 words of tongues. So I can teach someone else five words of heaven, of the knowledge of God, of the mysteries of God, if I did 10,000 words in tongues. And it's important that we pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues, a building block of truth is taken from the mind of the Holy Spirit, the mind of God, and placed in your inner man, in the mind of your spiritual man. And that truth never leaves you. It'll be there for the rest of eternity because it's from God to your inner man, which was birthed of God. All right, let's go over to Jude. You know this verse, Jude chapter 1, so in one chapter, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you're building yourself up. That's in the King James, it uses the word edification. You're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up. That's a building block. That word edifying is building. My daughter just went to the prom. You know, please pray for me. Having a teenage daughter go to the prom is a little expensive, and you know, so I'm not just guarding her against the boys, but now I'm paying for it. And when that happens, also, she's got to get her nails done, her hair done, got to buy a dress. And it's not just that. My wife likes to go enjoy all this experience with her. So two nails and toenails done, two hairdressing done, one dress. And so there's a difference between encouragement, motivation, and edification. And I want you to understand what I'm talking here. I'm talking to you like an adult. I'm trying to teach you like you wanted God to use you. God's okay with using Alan and Alan's abilities and Alan's ambition and Alan's zeal and Alan's love in the name of Jesus. If that's all I give him, God's okay with that. And he's pleased with me because it's still for the kingdom. But he prefers a more excellent way, and that is for Alan to die and Christ to be formed in me. So the wisdom that I'm teaching is wisdom that has been placed in me by God. Therefore, it's as powerful as if God said it himself to a person. The love that he wants me to to give to another person is not Alan's love in Jesus' name, but it's the love of Christ that has been established in me so I can give it to someone else. See, that's the path we're on with praying in tongues, that God wants to build Christ in you. He wants Christ to be come forth in you, his love. So when I love my neighbor with agape love, it would be as if Jesus himself was standing there, not Alan, in the name of Jesus. Alan's love is from the earth, and it's only so much. But the love of Christ is endless because it's from eternity. And it is available through me. A lot of preachers, a lot of churches are talking about Jesus, but they're not bringing forth Jesus in themselves to touch the world through them. That's why this verse is so important. But you, beloved, building yourself up, edifying yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It is a framework, a building block of your future, of your calling, of the knowledge of God, of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. That's all available to be established in you through praying in tongues. If you want to edify the church, God doesn't want you to edify the church with you, as nice as you are. He wants to edify the church with Christ in you. Well, what does that mean? A lot of churches are stuck in trying to encourage people. That's their ministry, encouraging people, strengthening people, not edifying people. Here's the difference. My daughter is going to, I'm looking for Galatians while I'm talking here. My daughter went to the prom, and I had to pay for all the stuff. Well, see, I can encourage my daughter. I could motivate my daughter, encourage her. Ava, you're beautiful. You are the most beautiful young lady I know. You're graceful. She has a grace just like her mama. She's beautiful. No wonder why, you know, the boys are interested in her. And I could tell her, you're smart. You're going places, little girl. I can encourage her, make her feel good about herself. And I feel that's what many churches are doing, modern churches. They become encouragers. You're good. God loves you. God cares about you. God thinks about you. And people feel good about themselves. That's encouragement. Encouragement is important. But edifying is different. Edifying is very practical. If I put my children through third grade class and the teacher is an encourager, they come back every day saying, Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, they're the best teacher, my favorite teacher. What do they do? Well, they just tell me how great I am. They make class fun, and we watch movies every day, and we play games every day. We go on field trips every day. And then I come to find out at the end of the year when they fail, the whole class fails the test. I found out that encouragement was nice. My kid loved it, but they didn't learn anything. See, edifying is for that teacher to edify their students. He or she would have to take the knowledge in them and pass it over to the students so they could pass the test. That would be the edifying. I am teaching you truth in third grade so you will have the knowledge in you. So when I sit you in front of a test, you'll be able to take the knowledge from your own brain and put it on the paper. That's a teacher who edifies, a teacher who just encourages and only encourages is like, hey, hurrah, hurrah, we're great third graders, we're fun, I'm the best, and I buy you candy and lollipops and play games and watch movies. Well, the kids love them, but they weren't edified, they were only encouraged. Now, I feel a lot of churches today, that's what they do. They're encouraging, motivating their people, but they're not helping their people to be edified in Christ. God has a calling on each believer. He has a place in his body that's left empty when they are not edified to walk in it. So I can encourage my daughter you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're going to be the prettiest girl there, you're smart, you're going places in life, I'm proud of you. But until I buy her the dress and pay for her nails to be done, her hair to be done, that's how I edify her to succeed at the prom. She would still look beautiful. She'd go there in her sweatpants and no makeup and no hair done and still be beautiful. But she wouldn't be succeeding at the prom when they have the competition for the prettiest dress or the king and queen kind of thing. She'll be behind only because I did not edify her. A lot of pastors are going to get to heaven and their people will find out, you didn't edify me. You taught me from your own mind. You taught me from the wisdom of the world. You taught me from good ideas and exciting ideas and made me excited to go to church, made me excited to serve God, but I wasn't edified. And now I'm in heaven and my rewards is itty bitty tiny little rewards. So I have under Jude 20, I have my own cross reference written down, and it says in my Bible, if I turn back there, under Jude 20 says Galatians 4:19. That's my own cross reference. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourself up, edifying yourself up on the most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. That building up is you're forming a building, you're forming something. In verse 19, Galatians 4, my little children, for whom I labor in birth pains again until Christ is formed in you. That's the same type of word. Christ is formed in you. He's built in you. What does that mean? Well, that means that when I pray in tongues, see, my new nature is complete in Christ. It's like a seed. The new nature, your new nature, every Christian has a new nature. And their new nature is what makes them a Christian, that new nature. And that new nature in them is a complete seed of Christianity, a complete seed of Christ in me. And now, if I take a seed, like if I have an apple seed, and I slice it open, and if I can look into it with special eyes, I could see that that seed is... in it is an image of a fully mature apple tree. And so if I take that seed and I plant it in the ground and I fertilize it and I water it, then the seed will begin to take the minerals and the nutrients and the water and will begin to build a apple tree. And that image was always in the seed, complete. But because you planted it and let it die, you watered it and fertilized it, now it forms that tree day after day, week after week, year after year, until when it's complete, there is a full picture. That image of that tree that you're looking at was already in that little seed, but it had to be formed by the seed. When you gave it nutrients, fertilized it, watered it, it had to be planted in the ground to die. Well, that's what happened to you. When you were born again, a seed of Christ called the new nature was inserted into your inner man. Your inner man was always there. Every person born has an inner man and an outward man. I'm turning over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as I'm preaching here. That inner man was always there, but it was dark. You had a nature of darkness. You had an inner man of darkness and an outward man of darkness. But when you were born again, God took the nature of sin and he quickened it, instantly switched it for a nature of righteousness. And he replaced it, or he made it go from darkness to light. It's new. Well, that nature also brought to life your inner man. Your inner man was created in true righteousness and holiness. So it used to be dark. You always had a spiritual mind, spiritual emotions, but it used to be dark like your outward man. Well, your outward man was not saved. Your outward man was left in darkness. That's why it's going to be replaced at the sound of the trumpet. But your inner man was brought to life. And why is that important? Because in my inner man, I have a spiritual brain, a spiritual set of emotions that are from God, but they are like a newborn baby. It was blank. It became blank. So when my inner man was rebirthed by the new nature, all the knowledge that used to be in that spiritual mind of darkness was eradicated, erased, obliviated. And now it is of light. It's pure, as righteous as Christ. It's perfect. It's from God. That's your inner man. That's the mind of the Spirit. That it's empty, though. It has to be built, but not just built. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm trying to tie in why it's so important to build the knowledge of God from the Holy Spirit to you. That's called edification. Edification is not a cheerleader, is not an encouragement, is not a motivation. Edification is a building block of truth that allows you on purpose to grow up, to mature, to overcome. Look in chapter 4, verse 16, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, a lot of Christians, they're teaching right, but they're using the wrong terminology. They'll say that I need to think differently. You need to read the word and renew your mind. To them means to re-educate, to educate their natural mind. Education is not renewing. That's education. He's not saying to educate your mind. He's saying to rebuild. So in their terminology, they're saying we need to think differently. And it's true. That's what happens when you pray and read the word. Eventually, you as a person will think differently. But it's not that you're thinking differently because you've educated your natural mind. It's because you're thinking differently because you renewed your spiritual mind. Your spiritual mind built up in truth knocked on the door of the outward mind and said, hey, that idea you have, that's wrong. And so now you are thinking from a different place. You haven't re-educated your natural mind. You made your natural mind shut up and bow down to your inner mind. So when we see the word renewed, it's renovate, rebuild. So why am I if my inner man came from God in perfect righteousness and holiness, why do I have to renew it, renovate, rebuild it? Read it again. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being rebuilt, renovated day by day. So the renovation, the edification of the inner man means the reason it says renew, not new it, not just build it up, but to renew it. Something was there before, and now it's gone, and now we have to rebuild it. When they have a tornado go through Oklahoma, and it destroys a house, the first thing that happens is people crawl out of their, praise God they live, they look for their dog and their cat, and one lady almost made me cry. I won't tell you did, but I'm a dog lover, my family's dog lovers. I know Gary Carpenter's a cat lover, and we pick on each other quite a bit. But poor lady, she's out there, and they're videotaping her. And she's like, well, praise God, you know, we're all alive. We lost everything, and the house is completely gone. You just see a pile of rubble, and the whole neighborhood's destroyed by the tornado. And praise God, we're still alive. And so we have our life, and that's all that matters. And so we will rebuild, okay? We're going to rebuild, meaning the tornado came through, destroyed it all. We're going to rebuild a house on the foundation that's there. And as she's talking this, she said, the saddest part is we lost our dog. It was like 3 days ago. And she's standing there where her house was. She goes, we've looked everywhere. We could not find her. Our little puppies, our dog is gone. And then while she's giving the interview, the TV camera zooms in behind her, and there's a little paw moving in the rubble and a little nose. And the TV lady says, is that a dog? And she turns around, and there's her puppy. They move all the rubble, and her puppy's still alive, and it was like a little miracle. And I won't say I cried. While you had a tornado called Jesus go through you, through your outward man when you were saved, and it destroyed and obliterated everything that was there before and built a new inner man that is now righteous and pure and light, and it is desiring knowledge from God and wisdom from God, and it has the ability for the love of Christ to come forward. And that's why whenever you see the word renew, it's talking about renewing the inner man, because it used to have knowledge there, but it was of darkness. Now all that is gone. Tornado Jesus came through, and now you get to rebuild a truth from God. Your outward man is still of the world. It can never understand God. So you have that new nature, a seed, and when you pray in tongues, that's like fertilizer to the seed. When you worship, when you read the word, that seed is beginning to come forward. See, inside the new nature, the seed of Christ in you, if I were to slice it open and look at it with special eyes, I would see that there is a Jesus, an image of Jesus in all of his maturity, all of his holiness, and all of his love already inside of you complete. But it's locked in within a seed. And many Christians, because they don't edify themselves, they spend their time trying to touch the world and help other people, but because they don't edify themselves with Christ being built and formed in them, they do it in their own ability, their own knowledge, their own wisdom. And you end up with nice little clubs of churches, fellowships of people hugging each other, loving each other, but not growing together in towards Christ and into revival. We need a turnaround in our church world. Doesn't need to be in all the churches. We need a few churches to rise up and a few people to rise up in those churches and show the world and Christianity the real Jesus, the real love of Jesus that's been formed in them. When I pray in tongues, when I worship, I'm edifying myself. The knowledge of God is the reason why the knowledge of God has to be implanted into your spiritual man, is because your spiritual man, your inner man's of God. Your outward man's of Adam. It cannot even comprehend what's in God. That's why you have to be born again to even understand God. And the edifying is in the inner man. The renewing is in the inner man. You're not trying to retrain the outward man. You're trying to mortify the outward man. So when I pray in tongues, I'm edifying my inward man. I'm renewing it with knowledge, rebuilding it with knowledge that came from God. It used to have knowledge that came from the earth, knowledge that came from darkness. But now I'm a new creature. I have a new nature. I have a new inner man. I've been birthed again. I did not come new from God. I came from Adam. But now he's made me a new creature. And so as I pray in tongues and I do these tools of prayer and worship and meditating the Word of God, it's like minerals and nutrients into the seed, and the nature begins to form the love of Jesus, the peace that Jesus walked in, the joy that Jesus walked in, the long-suffering that Jesus walked in is beginning to form in my inner man. And that is renewing that inner man. It's rebuilding. It begins to confront the imitation love, the imitation joy, the imitation knowledge of Alan, of this world. And eventually I begin to live out of the inner man instead of the outward man. We are not only to be encouragers. It's nice to encourage people. And it's good to encourage people and love on people. But if that's all we ever do, we're missing the point of the work of the gospel, is to edify the church, to build the church, not in numbers, but to build the people of the church to grow in the things of God. And you can't do that in your own ability. I'll quit preaching here. I'm going off topic. When you pray in tongues, you are edifying yourself. You're edifying yourself, and eventually, as that truth comes forward in you, then God is able to edify others through you with what he edified you with first. So should I pray in tongues? Yes, you should pray in tongues. Well, I think I should prophesy to you, but what are you going to prophesy if you don't have it in you, if you don't have the truth of God in you? You're going to make stuff up. Jesus loves you. I've seen a lot of stuff said in the name of God, and it's shameful, to be honest with you. Embarrassing. When you speak for God, you got me preaching now. When someone speaks for God and says, God told me, God said, it should be God. It shouldn't be an attempt. It should be God. That's a holy thing to speak for God. Do you understand that? It's a holy, holy thing. You can hurt people, destroy people with wrong prophecies and wrong doctrine. You can destroy their future, their families, their life, their calling, because you spoke for God, but you didn't. You spoke out of your own self. Edification is God speaking through you what he's put in you. Amen. I'm preaching. I'm going to close here. Pray in tongues. Don't stop the anyone chase you out of it. Don't let your own self chase you away from it. Pray in tongues edifies, builds Christ in you. God bless you. I'll see you soon.